Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Our number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. And you can find us on Twitter at Everyman Sports. With me this week is my dad. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing great.
You weren't here last week. We missed you. This week, Alex is not here, but he should be back next week. So hopefully next
great.
Week we can get the gang. The gang will be all here, so... but that'll be next week. So I'm glad you're here this week with me, though. Big week 13 in the NFL. I think we're obviously going to cover, but this was probably the most exciting week in the NFL so far.
Well, there was some fantastic finishes.
Fantastic finishes, really good matchups going into the week, and just a lot of surprises, too. But, I mean, for the most part, the season's been, I don't want to say a dud, but there have been a lot of like missed opportunities with the injuries to so many players. Between what was that Sunday night game where Breeze and Romo both missed or something like that. So just a lot of disappointment, injuries all over the place, referees
right.
making, you know, questionable calls. But this week was an excellent. I think we have to start off with the Jets Giants game. That was so heavily that look, I said it last week that I don't dislike the Giants. Like
right.
I keep track of them. I dislike the Yankees, but I don't as a Jet fan don't dislike the Giants. They've had success, but they haven't had so overwhelming success.
Well, they're roommates at MetLife.
Yeah, it's, you know, the guy you pass by, like, oh, hey, don't forget to close the fridge on it. Okay, I'll see you later. Like, that sort of stuff. Like,
right.
they go on their merry way, and we meet each other once every 4 years. You know, the rivalry is more between fans, and even then it's just, like, bragging rights. And
but the wheel has turned now.
It seems like it. Jets 23-20 over the Giants in overtime. A lot of big stuff going on. First of all, the special teams for the Giants worked wonderfully for them all game until the very end. I mean,
that's their story this year.
Yeah, but I mean, Harris a kick return for a touchdown. And Brown's been a good field goal kicker for them all year. And then he missed a... What was that, a 48-yard or 46-yard?
No, he said if it was 46, it would have made it.
Right, so it looked like but it was 40. And it, but it was wide. Unfortunately, the goalposts
yeah.
aren't wide.
Yeah, it hooked.
So, but what I've been hearing is everybody been talking about the fact of the Giants late in the fourth quarter going
yeah.
for it on fourth down as opposed to kicking a field goal. And I've heard a lot of stuff back and forth. And, yeah, you can talk to that about the turning point because I've heard it said, well, if the...
Well, we're talking about it because it didn't work out.
Well, it didn't work out. Of course, it worked out. They would have been fine. But if they had kicked the field goal, I've heard people say, well, then the Jets, you know, they would have had to go for two touchdowns as opposed
well,
to one in field goal.
Is it a great comeback or a colossal flop?
I think it's, well...
Like, what side of the coin are you looking at?
Well, you have to look at the history of the Giants' defense this year. I mean, don't forget, this was the defense that allowed 52 points to the Saints when they were up, when they themselves scored 48.
Well, the Saints just put up a bundle on the Panthers.
Yeah, absolutely. And
so,
it both
I mean,
bruised Breeze, that too. But look, so the Giants' defense hasn't been strong. For the first portion of the game, they were doing really well.
Yeah.
So if you want to say that they reached their limit against the Jets' offense, like... The Giants' defense played really well early in the game, and then they just reached a point where everything, it was just diminished results. So I don't blame Tom Coughlin for going for it on fourth down.
No, it was a gutsy move.
But honestly, like, you're in the NFL. You're a defense in the NFL. You got to make a stop, and if you're such a, I mean, the special teams work great for them, you got to make that kick.
But he did say, nobody knows my team like I do.
That's very true.
And he's seen him fail in the fourth quarter, so yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, good for him.
It is. Look, I mean, he's not going to get fired after this week,
right.
but, you know, obviously a change
well,
has
to Well, he sold
be
his house, so I don't know if he's got one foot on the banana peel and the other...
Sure. I mean, he's 70, you know, this is going to be three straight, most likely losing seasons, three straight years without a playoff appearance, it looks like, although we'll get to that in a second. So it looks like, yeah, Tom's on the way out. You know, Sean Payton has his connections to the Giants organization. And, you know, also the fact that, look, Bob McAdoo, who's their offensive coordinator, their offense was working pretty well. Jets have a better defense.
They
can't run the ball because they don't have as good.
How well is that?
Well, but they signed their offensive coordinator, Bob McAdoo, to a contract a couple years ago. So it seems like he might be the odds-on favorite to either stick around for head coach or be some sort of
co-something.
I don't know, but I'm just saying that there are different ideas. And the Giants, they hire well, and you know they're not going to go too splashy.
Well, that whole division is really, we're spending too much time on that because the entire division is 10-20 against teams that aren't themselves.
Right. They're either 500 or below 500 against each other. 2-2,
yeah,
2-2.
And 10-20 against the rest of them. So, I mean, enough said.
It's not good. Well, let's jump ahead to that game, last night's game. First, we'll start with this being recorded as usual on a Tuesday night. So, Monday Night Football. Redskins, Cowboys in Washington. Washington, I think, undefeated at home.
It was almost unwatchable.
Well, it was 9-9 on for like 58 minutes. Oh yeah, it was a this was the worst game. And then all of a sudden, DeSean Jackson fields a punt and he runs it back to the 25, and then he decides, well, let me go the other way. Runs all the way back to about the 5 yard line, fumbles. And gives it up to the Cowboys. Cowboys go in and score the touchdown. Then Redskins get the ball back, and they throw a 40-some-odd yard pass to DeSean Jackson for a touchdown.
Right.
Game is tied 15-15.
Well, I don't blame him for trying to make something. I mean, they don't have many playmakers, and he was trying to make a play. But you got to hang on to the ball.
Absolutely.
So that's the bottom line.
You have to hang on to the ball, and
here's the long-term story with DeSean Jackson. He giveth. And he taketh away.
He's capable of those big plays. And, you know, that was one where, you know,
he doesn't play the full season.
No. That was one of those moves where the Eagles were smart to get rid of. I mean, and we'll get to the Eagles in a second. Well, but let me just preface it and say, so far, Jeremy Maclin's not lighting it up. And DeSean Jackson's not lighting up. LeSean McCoy has been spotty at best. So I'll just put it that way. But going back to the game, and then Dan Bailey, who, you know, who's pretty much automatic nowadays, and for a while, kicked the field goal to win it in regulation. So,
yeah, that was like a 54-yarder.
Yeah, the Redskins had a death grip on NFC East.
They have yet to win two in a row.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a nightmare.
But their ace in the hole was when it was FedEx Field. They were undefeated, and now that lost the shines off that.
It's so over with this division, really. Move on.
Well, but then now it opens up for, and what I'm going to say on record here, who I think will be the eventual winners of the NFC East, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right.
They played from a Jet fan standpoint, a spectacular game where they beat up on the Patriots, ending there, was it 54 or 40-some-odd game-winning streak?
Every way you could, really.
So the Eagles, for the third time in history, and by the way, the other previous two times have been done by the Eagles, a interception return for a touchdown, a blocked punt return for a touchdown, and a kickoff or a kick return for a touchdown.
Yes.
The previous two times have both been by the Eagles. So
I didn't know that.
Three times that's happened.
Yeah.
Where defense and two special teams touchdowns in those fashions have been returned for touchdowns. And the other one was only like two or three seasons ago, I think.
Right.
So the Eagles, that's their specialty.
So they're that good, or the Patriots are hobbled?
I think that the Eagles, well, first of all, let me also point out that both the Cowboys and the Eagles, and also the Packers, who got embarrassed, all three got embarrassed on Thanksgiving night,
right?
Thanksgiving Day night, had the best games this week. All three of the best games this week.
Well, as Bill Parcells would say, winning is a great deodorant.
It's true. It's true, absolutely. But, I mean, you know, Brady, you know, even with Amendola back, although now they're saying Gronkowski's going to be out a little bit longer than they think, so he's not going to bounce
back. Better. I mean, they'll need him in the playoffs.
Yeah, hopefully not, but that's for another story. But, yeah, the Eagles, 35-28? I mean, and they almost screwed it up. They were out of timeouts. The Patriots are out of timeouts. The two-minute warning just about happened. And all they had to do was just rush it one more time. And they fumble the ball on their third or fourth string running back. because Ryan Matthews was out. DeMarco Murray, they wanted to give a rest. And Darren Sproles ran back a return. So
he was a one-man band.
So the last line of running backs that they have, they give it to him, and he fumbles it. Right, and he gives it back to the Patriots with like a minute and a half left at about the 30. Patriots own 30 and give Brady a chance, but Brady, four incompletions.
Right.
And that sealed the game, so... I was just seeing that, like, no, how can this happen?
Well, now the Eagles have the Bills at home.
And McCoy's going to want a shot at the old team. I would think so. But I'm just saying, like, I'm looking at this past week. I mean, the Giants lost. The Redskins lost. Unless the Cowboys go on some sort of miraculous winning streak,
they're
not going to win it. And honestly, I believe that the Eagles are going to be the winners of this division.
Okay.
So that's just my thing. And, you know, I think Chip Kelly has a little bit of that chip, you know, that chip on
right,
his shoulder.
The question is, could they beat the Seahawks?
Could they? They might, although, if it becomes the Russell Wilson show again, Russell Wilson throws again for like four or five touchdowns in back-to-back weeks.
Well, I think they're a better team without Graham.
Yeah, I think so.
So they're back to their old identity.
Right. And they're doing it with the likes of Fred Jackson.
And they're putting points on the board.
They are.
They're scoring 29, 32.
It's true. Going back to the Panthers for a second, they almost lost their perfect season. It came down to a fourth down pass that Greg Olsen just barely caught. It was a miracle catch.
Right.
And they were able to pull out a win, 41-38, against New Orleans. That was a track meet, as usual. And pretty much everything kind of stayed the same. Tampa Bay, Atlanta has fallen apart. My gosh. They're just down. And Buffalo beat Houston when we were all ready to celebrate the Texans. Buffalo hosts them, and they couldn't get it done.
Well, the
and
Texans were win 4, win 5, which is
A power, and they powerful. Had an early lead. I mean, the Bills did not look good early in that game, and somehow they pulled it all together and pulled it out. And, of course, the other really big game, speaking of those Thanksgiving Day games, Green Bay, who hadn't led all game, and the only time they led was when the clock read 0-0-0.
That was perfect.
On Rodgers' birthday in Detroit, makes up for their loss.
He said that was the most exciting victory other than the Super Bowl. And he was running. He looked Favre-esque, running down the field.
Helmet off.
Yeah. Pumping his
and
fist.
It's rare that you see an NFL game end like a baseball game where, you know, everybody's at home plate and they, you know, jumping up and down.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. They're running down to the end
but
zone.
But that's
an
all-time highlight.
That was amazing. Like, aside from Doug Flutie, I can't think
and
of
it's the... easy to remember because it was Rodgers to Rodgers.
Rodgers to Rodgers. Richard.
Roger
Aaron
that.
Rodgers. And now... It was all set up, of course, by the phantom face mask. But don't forget.
Well, his hand was in there.
His hand was in there, but in the moment of action where you have to call it, you have a split second to call it. And I don't envy these refs for a minute. Yeah, we get on their case, but this is one where you have to go, whoa.
They let a lot slide.
They do. But here you're 10 yards back. You even in the back of your mind, you're thinking, wow. In this league that's quarterback-driven, look at how many quarterbacks are down and out. Flacco, all these guys, so on and
but
so
I'll
forth.
But I give the refs credit for calling offensive pass interference because there's a lot of that out there.
That is true. Absolutely. You know, again, as much as... Look, these guys are lawyers. Like, in their off, you know, 6 days out of the week. Only on Sunday do they come and, you know, as people say, screw up the game. But, I mean, so they know what they're doing. Honestly, they do.
Well, if the league would determine what a catch is,
well, that
would help everybody.
Well, that's the other thing.
How can you play this game this long and not know what a catch is?
Because there's always, a move that's consistent with the game of football, an act of, you know, whatever it is.
An act common to the game.
Yes, that's a good one.
I don't even know if that's in the rule book anymore. It used to be.
It used to be. But then, it used to be like, well, 1 foot down, knee. Alex actually had a good little thing. He said his most hated phrase in football is completing the process of the catch. He just hates that phrase. He thinks that's awful. But going back to very quickly, the Rodgers call, the penalty on Rodgers. I mean, you're 10 yards back as a referee. You see the head go one way.
Yeah.
And then when he gets up, his chin strap is all the way up by his mouth.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but there is enough corroborating evidence to say, all right, that's a face mask. So I don't blame them for 1 second for calling that. And I honestly,
if you're interested in the safety of the game, that's important.
Absolutely. Again, you look at all the quarterbacks who are down and out.
So hands to the face, people getting their eyes poked.
Yes, you don't want that. Oh, who was it? Dwayne Allen a couple weeks ago, but Aqib Talib poking him in the eye. So, yeah, they think about that. So a crazy, crazy week this week. And the NFC East, it's amazing that somebody has to win it. But don't forget, the last couple of times that a team with a very weak record that won a division have won. I mean, we'll go back to the famous Saints-Seahawks game.
You got
to
be hot late.
Right, but I'll go back to the famous Saints-Seahawks game where the Seahawks won the division 7-9, hosted the Saints, who had a great record, like 10-6 or something, and Seattle busted them up. I mean, that was the famous game where Marshawn Lynch caused the tremor.
Right.
Where he was running and the crowd, you know, cheered so loud it actually caused a tremor on the Richter scale. And then last year, Arizona, who was what? They were 10-6, and they had to go all the way across the country to Carolina, who was...
Yeah, but they had a third-string quarterback.
Right,
that was a damaged team.
But still, the weaker team is hosting the division because they win the division.
Right.
The game.
Well, it should be that
way. And they won. So you know what? I'm not going to guarantee, but I'm not going to be surprised for a second if the Eagles win and they host the playoff game and they win that first round. I'll say that first round.
I'd be surprised.
I can understand that. So, all right, so looking at week 14 of the NFL, couple of games, especially, I'd say right now, this Thursday night game already looks very good. The Vikings, who lost a horrid game to Seattle.
Yeah.
I mean, they had an opportunity to hold on to the division. Now, there's no stopping the Packers, and the Vikings, they better stop before.
Well, I like the Packers against the Cowboys.
Right, so
the Cowboys are a bad team.
Right.
I mean, and they beat an even worse team.
Right. So Green Bay right now, I have giving 7.5.
Yeah, I would do it.
At home, so Green Bay.
Well, that was the first time, and, you know, it was handed to him with Deshaun Jackson.
Right.
But that was the first time since September of 2010 that Dallas quarterback not named Romo won a game.
Yeah.
So that was kind of shocking.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't give them much of a chance in Green Bay.
Yeah.
The San Diego, that's a team that has to be reckoned with. I mean, they've had three different backs about 100 yards.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a big one, too. And, I mean, Oakland, Denver, you know. But the other one, of course, is the Monday night game. Houston and the Patriots. First of all, it's the last good Monday night game because all the rest out of here don't look good. And that, so New England on a 2-game losing streak. Whoever thought we would have heard that?
Who's that?
The Patriots. They're on a 2-game losing streak, and so now they're going down into Houston.
Right.
And you know we'll see what happens, but
they'll probably win.
Yeah, probably. And what, any other good games? Cincinnati and Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Yes.
That's for real.
Right. That's going to be a good one, too.
Well,
yes?
Yeah, that'll be a good test because Big Ben, I really think for quarterback receiver tandems, I think he has the best going in the league.
Right.
I mean, they got two guys that can really bring it.
Very true. And then, as aforementioned, the Bills at the Eagles.
Right.
That'll be a good game, too, in Atlanta at Carolina. So far, you like Green Bay given 7.5.
Yeah.
Against
the Cowboys.
Yeah. Right. Any others that you particularly liked?
Well, I'm going to go with Kansas City till they disappoint.
I think that's fair. I think that's absolutely fair. Kansas City is giving 10. Home against San Diego, I think that's pretty much a shoo-in. You got to say that's...
Well, I mean, they've fallen off the map, San Diego. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because that's a good quarterback.
Yes, very much so. All right. Good, there you go. So moving over to baseball, a lot, now that the winter meetings have started, a lot of movement has started up. And it all really started with the signing of David Price, who, of course, signed with the Red Sox, a lefty going to the Red Sox. Aside from John Lester, I can't think of another really good You want to say Bruce Hurst in 86? That's about it.
Well, I mean, they really had to do something. They're tired of being in the basement.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if that's a fit price for them, a lefty.
Well, he stays in the division. So, you know, they know who he's going up against, but that's
what
it is.
Well, they got to make a change, and that's what they did.
And so because that domino fell, Zach Greinke, who almost won the Cy Young for the Dodgers, stays in the division, doesn't go to the rival Giants, but goes to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Now, the Diamondbacks have a very weak division, a very weak starting rotation. But their offense, I think, was second or top five in the league.
Well, isn't everybody's offense good in Colorado?
No, but no, in Arizona.
Oh, in Arizona.
Arizona. Sorry. You want to say like the heat, maybe, you know, the thin, some sort of air quality there. So, yeah, so he goes to Arizona. He'll have plenty of run support because between Paul Goldschmidt and everybody else that they got out there, he's got a good offense to pitch for. And then a lot of pitchers going. Jordan Zimmermann, of course, signed with the Tigers. Jeff Samardzija, I forget how to pronounce, but he goes to the Giants because the Giants couldn't get Greinke. So all sorts of movement there. And then the big other thing that the Dodgers did was they signed a pitcher from Seattle, Iwakuma, I believe his name is Iwakuma, and they also traded for Aroldis Chapman. The guy, the closer who throws over 100 miles an hour.
However,
it's being held up because it's an alleged domestic incident where, according to Miami police in October, I think he beat up his girlfriend or wife, I forget which one, and then...
Oh, he has two.
I forget which one. I forget the specifics of who the female was. However, there was a female who alleged... domestic abuse, and he fired a gun like 8 rounds into his garage ceiling or something like that. So right now it's a little...
At around 6, are you thinking, should I empty this? Or, I mean, what's with this?
I've gotten this far. I need to just pop off a couple more. So, yeah. So that's holding up, which really would have... I mean, the Dodgers would have just solidified themselves in terms of the bullpen. Like, starting pitching will be whatever, but the bullpen. So... I have a feeling it might go through, because even if it doesn't, I don't know. Just something says, like, okay, they're going to try for it.
So what did the team save face by doing this?
They're
juggling it considering?
Pretty much. So you got to think that that's happening. And then the Cubs right now have really been building up theirs. They signed John Lackey, who's been pitching in the division as the Cardinals.
Well, they got the bats.
Well, they've got the young bats, Chris Bryant, and guy? That big left, Anthony Rizzo, and just some of the outfielders too, in the infield. And so they needed to upgrade the pitching. They signed John Lackey, who, you know, he's a gamer. He's somebody.
Well, that's a good manager there too.
That is, and now they just signed Ben Zobrist. That's just coming over the wire not too long ago. 4 years, $56 million.
And he's 34.
He's 34, but I mean, the guy just gets on base.
Right.
That's all they call him.
But when does that end? At 35? 4 years, too much.
I know, but look, he can play the outfield. He can play the infield. He's a switch hitter. He gets on base.
Right.
And as a Met fan personally,
and
that
he's
was
cheap.
That's pretty cheap. 4 years, 56? Come on.
Yeah.
And as a Met fan, that's very disappointing because he was the one guy.
Well, they did all they could for the guy.
Did they? I want to know how much they offered. Because, I mean, they said, every news report said the Mets are going hard after Zobrist, that they wanted Zobrist. Now, unless Zobrist says, because he used to play for Joe Maddon, unless he said, hey, I just wanted to play with Joe again. All right, fine. There's nothing in the world we could have done, no matter how many millions we threw at him. But it's just really disappointing. And then it comes over, for the Mets specifically, then it comes over that in winter ball in Venezuela, where Wilmer Flores is playing, he broke his ankle. And it's a fracture, but it's still a break. So it's a fracture. He apparently will be okay in time for spring training, a couple months down the road. But still, it's just, you're kicking me when you're down, when I'm down, you know, as a Met fan. And the Mets have been very quiet in terms of free agents. I know they're not going to sign pitchers.
What's on the farm? Is Herrera ready?
Herrera might be ready, but I mean, you know.
Well,
It's just very
Sandy Alderson gets a pass. One, he's battling cancer.
Right.
Two, he did a great job last year.
He did a fantastic job. He was
so
executive of the year.
So it seems like now you hang in there until the trade deadline or free agency or people want to dump salary and then you pick up stuff at the end.
So exactly what we did. So exactly what we did in 2015. But that's very hard to duplicate. And, you know, I have one of those very crude jokes about, you know, Sandy Alderson, he comes to the Mets. And now he has cancer, poor guy. You know, it's just one of those things, like, of course my team would be the one.
It's like being sent to Siberia.
Pretty much. So that's happening. Just, you know, there's a lot of movement. This is where the hot stove really gets interesting. But a lot of the big names, especially the hitters, a lot of the hitters are still on the block. Chris Davis, the Orioles first baseman, Jason Hayward, who's supposed to be the top position guy, Justin Upton, Alex Gordon, and... of course, Cespedes. Cespedes is still out there.
Well, there's a rumor he'll go back to Detroit.
Yeah, he might. I mean, look, I wish him no ill will.
Yeah, but that's an expensive player that plays when he wants to.
Absolutely.
But he does. He has some talent.
He throws back to the infield underhand.
He's
and he
great.
Gets it
I
almost.
Love it. He's a showman. I
he,
love it.
Yeah, he loves the show. But, you know, and the other thing is for the Mets, a lot of the bullpen guys are already taken up. Not that there were many, like, big, big, big name ones. You'd have to trade some of them. But Darren O'Day, a great sinker baller, he's already off.
Well,
Ryan Madsen.
They can get their last year's closer by June, can't they? I mean, he's serving, like, 100 days here, 100 days there.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. But,
before you know it, the season's over.
Not Mejia. Yeah, Mejia. He's gone.
He's gone.
Twice in one season he got caught. He's not coming back. That guy, he's finished.
Really?
Well, at least with the Mets. But, I mean, Ryan Madsen, J.A. Happ. I mean, even Oliver Perez, who's now a left-handed specialist, he got taken up. So, you know, I hope somebody who was sent by the Mets, not named Sandy Alderson, is at least trying to do something, not sitting around going, I don't know what to do.
It's hard to believe that you're, you know, complaining the Mets don't have pitching.
No, but it's not the starting pitching. It's the bullpen.
Right.
That's why we lost. That's why the Mets lost the World Series.
Because?
Because of the bullpen.
No,
it's not,
really?
Yeah, yes.
I thought it was because they left their stud in there when he talked the manager down.
Okay, but what about games?
And what about that
what
game?
What about game one? What about game three? What about game four? We can't rest it all on Harvey. Harvey didn't lose us the series. Tyler Clippert in the eighth inning. I was there. Tyler Clippert lost us that series because he lost game four. That was the swing game.
Right.
We could have gone 2-2.
Well, you didn't have much faith in him during the season, did you?
To start off with. When
and
he came.
Then he ended
was
horrible.
Late September.
Yeah, it's hard to resurrect.
Yeah, it was very tough. And unfortunately, I wouldn't be surprised if the Mets re-sign him, as silly as it sounds. Because, look, I can't help it but be pessimistic
right,
in
right.
certain respects. I just went to the World Series. But it's getting tough. So, all right. Well, that's baseball. So that's going to be fun for the rest of that. And then also in college football, let's move to that. The playoffs have finally been figured out and decided.
Really?
Yes.
Is Notre Dame in?
No. Well, they are not in the top four. They're not in the college football playoffs. They're one of the New Year six games. Peach Bowl, Orange Bowl, Cotton Bowl.
I prefer to see them in a bowl game.
Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and I believe the last one is the Fiesta Bowl. They're at the Fiesta Bowl against Ohio State. Notre Dame versus Ohio State. That's a pretty good matchup. Rose Bowl is Iowa versus Stanford.
Nice.
First of all, that's going to look nice. Black and yellow versus red and white, that's going to be nice.
Perfect.
I love color schemes in terms of like...
I love the bowl games.
That's right. And then the Sugar Bowl is Ole Miss for Oklahoma State. So that could be good. But the big ones are going to be New Year's Eve. Oh, also the Peach Bowl is Florida State versus Houston. Houston with their big-time offense. Orange Bowl is a semifinal game. Clemson versus Oklahoma.
Great one.
Undefeated Clemson. Against the very hot Oklahoma.
Yes.
And then the Cotton Bowl. This year, the Cotton Bowl is going to be at the... It's been at Jerry's house,
right.
AT&T Stadium. So that's going to be Alabama versus Michigan State. Michigan State knocked off Iowa in the Big Ten Championship game.
The Spartans are for real.
They are. Look, I wanted Iowa to win that game because Iowa doesn't get a lot of credit. I mean, one thing they're good at is producing offensive linemen.
True.
Corn-fed men. But, you know, this was their chance to really put it, you know, go over the top. Hey, look, we're Iowa. We're, but no, they couldn't do it. Michigan State is on a roll going up against Roll Tide.
Well, you like hot teams.
Yeah. So, look, I'm not much of an Alabama man. I kind of want Michigan State to win that game. And then Clemson versus Oklahoma. I kind of want to see Clemson because they've been disrespected all year.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see them finally go, look, we're here.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. The bowl games start on December 19th. And then it goes from there. So.
Yeah, well, with the sponsor names, I'm looking at these things. I don't even know what they are.
How about AutoNation Cure Bowl? There's the Royal Purple Las Vegas Bowl, the Raycom Media Camilla Bowl.
What?
It's weird. Why the sponsor's name shouldn't become before the name of the bowl? It should be something like the Rose Bowl. Well, see, the Rose Bowl has it right.
Well, that's easy for you to say because you're not paying.
Right.
But if you're paying that kind of money, you want to get top billing.
I know, but the Rose Bowl has it right. Rose Bowl game presented by Northwest Mutual. Yes. Not all the bowls are the Rose Bowl. But, I mean, the Sugar Bowl, it's been this way for a very long time, but the All-State Sugar Bowl.
I don't remember watching the Sugar Bowl parade.
No, you're absolutely right.
The Rose Bowl has something there.
That's absolutely right. Now, I know we're ahead of it. We can talk about it later, but just off the top of your head, would you be watching the playoffs, the college playoffs, New Year's Eve? So it's December 31st. The first game's on at 4. The second game's on at 8.
I could watch that one.
The 4 o'clock game. But the 8 o'clock game, Alabama versus Michigan State. That's a tough one. I mean, they've already come out and said we're expecting a 10% decline in ratings because this is New Year's Eve as opposed to New Year's Day, which last year they had it right.
Well, I'm thinking with the family TV, I mean, going to have to watch the ball drop. So
right, but
going to have to see the stars and...
Well, you got to figure that the game's not going to go over 3 hours. It's a college football game. They don't stop the clock as often as a professional game. It'd even be over by a little bit after 10 o'clock. So an 8 o'clock start, 10 o'clock finish, plus.
In
time for Dick Clark's Rockin' Eve, hosted by, Ryan Seacrest. So you won't have to worry about that. And then their Heisman candidates, the running back from Alabama. How many Alabama running backs have there been these last? I pointed out like 4 of the last 5 drafts. Ingram, Trent Richardson, T.J. Yeldon,
that's a forgettable name.
Well, yeah, and Eddie Lacy. Right now,
he's the bomb.
Yeldon's still young. Well, Lacy's been having a bad slump this season. Where he fumbled what twice?
Yeah, but can he get off the buffet table?
Well, that's the problem. Aside from Mark Ingram, all these other ones, it's just been diminished returns. And I don't think this guy, his name's something Harris. So I think he might be, if he wins the Heisman Trophy and he gets drafted in the first round, I think that might be an overshot.
He's not a senior, is he?
I don't think he's either a junior or a senior, but still. The running back from Stanford who had I think the most yardage, like all-purpose yardage in college football history, and then the Clemson quarterback. And a lot of people are miffed that the Navy quarterback, who now holds the season record for most rushing yards, I think ever in a season, he got there was an ESPN poll because the fan vote actually counts as a vote for the Heisman, and he was leading. And then after their loss to Houston, which was I think their second or third loss, they took his name off the ballot.
Wow!
You can still put it in as a write-in vote.
Oh, well, that's not going to help.
But that's, I think he started off right before they took his name off. He was at 40%. Now he's at 36%. At least that's when I heard, I think, like a week ago. So it doesn't look good for the Navy. But, I mean, a Navy quarterback, if he's good, if people want to, you know, he should be.
They're
going to
wait 4 years.
Yeah.
Not
so,
too many Roger Staubachs out there.
No, goodness no. That's for sure. And then Golden State Warriors still haven't lost.
That's amazing.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And Luke Walton, who's the interim coach, because Steve Kerr has got, I think, back surgery or leg surgery or whatever it was. So Luke Walton is currently an undefeated coach, but all those wins will go to Kerr because he's the interim coach. But Luke Walton will, in the future, be head coach in the NBA. I think that's obvious.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And just a lot of bad teams. 76ers, Lakers, bad. Not good stuff.
Yeah, Philly doesn't have much to cheer about.
No. No. Amazingly, the Phillies aren't the worst team in Philadelphia anymore. fantasy football, I was 1-1 this week. I clinched a playoff berth in one of my leagues, in my public league, but I got my butt handed to me, mainly because I have weak wide receivers. Stephon Diggs, no. And Devin Funchess, no. And Crockett Gilmore is my tight end. No. So not good stuff there. And then in my Everyman Sports League, I actually won this week. I beat my father-in-law.
Nice.
Yes, so hopefully he won't hold it against me. Another big game there. I have not yet clinched a playoff there, but I'm in fifth place out of eight. Lee clinched a playoff berth last week, I believe. She's in second place. Alex is in third place. He also clinched, so... Yeah,
you got some catching up to do.
A little bit, but it's an eight-team playoff
format,
and it's a 3 weeks playoff. Usually in fantasy football, the Super Bowl of fantasy football is week 16. In this league, because as a fantasy football player in week 17, I'm just bored out of my mind and I'm disappointed. Like, there's no fantasy, so I decided in the Everyman Sports League, a week 17, that's the Super Bowl. And there have been a lot of criticisms because the downplay on that is if you're a team that's going to the playoffs and you've already clinched your ticket, you're not going to play your guy.
Oh.
So, you know, you have to kind of think, you know, figure out around that or work around that. But okay. I figure, you know what? Come on. Let's have fun. So
the action.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about. So, all right, Dad. Well, thank you very much for joining me this week.
You're welcome.
And we will talk to you next week, hopefully. Happy Hanukkah to all who celebrate, my wife and I included, and our son and everybody else who's listening who might celebrate her.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah. Thank you very much. All right, Dad, thank you. And we will see you guys next week. Alex is not here, but Andrew, please take it away.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.